Welcome to Crosswords, the podcast about practical Christianity. What does it look like to walk in Jesus' footsteps? How do I live in a culture hostile to godliness? These are questions that we'll answer on each podcast as we get our heart and mind on Jesus. All scriptures quoted are from the New International Version. You can follow me on Twitter at @kingdom_saint. Walk with the Lord today and be a blessing.
Good afternoon, family. Great to see you on this first day of the week. We're all familiar with storms to some degree. Some of you know up front the fierceness, the power of a storm. And there are different kinds of storms that we can name. There are hurricanes, there are nor'easters, more familiar to us here in Long Island, blizzards, gales, superstorms, tornadoes, and even the newest definition, bomb cyclone. That sounds scary, but we've had a few of those. And what are some characteristics, common characteristics that these storms share? Well, pretty much all storms have a certain unpredictability, especially tornadoes. You know, some of them can be predictable like hurricanes, yet even the best models that we have don't exactly predict the path. So there is a level of unpredictability to storms, which is why we tend to fear them. They leave us feeling vulnerable at times. You know, some of them don't give us time to prepare. And when they're upon us, we have this feeling of vulnerability. How can we stand against the wind or the rain or what is it that we're seeing? The fierceness of the storm. All storms have fierceness to them. And depending on the degree of the fierceness, they make us feel more vulnerable. We all need to find shelter in a storm. We don't want to get caught in them. And sometimes a house is not a good shelter. Ask some of the people who've lost their homes in tornadoes. The house didn't provide for them a good shelter. And lastly, sudden changes in intensity. Something might not look that fierce, and all of a sudden, a few seconds, it is pretty fierce. What are some of the storms now that we face today? We've spoken about physical storms, but let's talk about other kinds of storms that we also face, like the loss of a loved one, missed opportunities in life. Sometimes they leave us feeling all these things, all these characteristics. They make us feel that way. Financial instability, health issues, emotional or mental challenges, relational challenges, like having marriage issues, issues with your children, economic challenges. Now, the political upheaval and the war that we see in the world, it's like a storm that's upon us, a storm that won't go away. Some would call COVID a storm that's still not going away, right? Whatever the storms are, whether meteorological phenomena or the political or personal or collective storms that hit us all, they all have one thing in common, more so than these characteristics. And that is that they are guaranteed to come into our lives at one point in time or another. You are going to weather a storm, whether it's a real storm, and we've all weathered them from time to time, or something emotional or something else. How do we get ready for them? Can we get ready for these storms? So today we're going to see the disciples and Jesus weather a storm, and we're going to see how they all reacted, how the disciples reacted. What did Jesus say? Let's start in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. It says, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he ordered his disciples to cross to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So a very large crowd was again gathering around Jesus. And from Luke's account, we get the sense that this was right after he had finished teaching the parables, which is why we're going right into this event right now. That's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That same passage tells us that this was happening in the evening. So the sun was going down. It was going to get dark. After a whole long day of teaching the crowd and kind of ending with the parables, there's another crowd coming. And Jesus says, okay, you know what? If he was wearing a watch, he would be probably looking at it and say, it's time to chill out a little. Let's get away from the crowd. So they were on the eastern shore on the Sea of Galilee, and they wanted to get across to the other shore. He wants to get away a bit, you know. After all, he's been all day with this crowd. He just wants to be with his disciples. maybe even catch a few Z's, rest a little bit. So suddenly they're in the boat, right? And a severe storm comes across the sea. The waves were so high that they were actually getting into the boat. And that can be pretty scary. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a boat in a storm. I mean, the waves, just the size of the waves, and it's scary enough. Then you got the waves coming into the boat and your boat is filling with water. In God's Word translation, it calls it a severe storm. The Greek phrase is mega seismos. Now, you know what mega means, right? We all are familiar with that Greek term, something big or something numerous. And seismos, interestingly enough, actually means a shaking or a commotion. It's where we get a seismograph or a seismograph, which is an instrument that measures what? Earthquakes. In the Greek, this could be a term used for a tempest or an earthquake or anything that would cause a commotion, anything that would be rocking your world or shaking you up. A mega seismos. This was a big one. The waves were covering the boat. So we know it was a big storm right in the middle of the sea. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 says that the boat was being filled up with water. Now, that's a scary prospect for anybody who's in a boat in the middle of a sea, in the middle of a storm. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you heard on the news, there was a gigantic multi-car crash in Pennsylvania. And what was the cause? It was a sudden snow squall. And that caused the conditions to go from clear, unexpected, everything looks fine. In a few seconds, it was a whiteout. Nobody could see. And so those people that were stuck on that interstate, all of a sudden, you can't see, you're going 80 miles an hour. I would try to stop. I would try to pull over, but imagine you can't see. You don't know whether you're pulling over right into another car. The people were not able to be prepared at that time because it was a sudden and severe storm, and disaster ensued. So these sudden and severe storms have been going on since the times of Jesus. They seem more common nowadays to you and to me, but that's perhaps because we're so interconnected with social media now and the news, but they've been happening. Storms were not uncommon in the Sea of Galilee because of its location. It's 700 feet below sea level, the Sea of Galilee. And it's surrounded by mountains, so it creates a very low pressure area. So when the wind is rushing over the mountains and suddenly into that low pressure area, it's fertile ground for gigantic storms. Cool air sweeps down and storms all of a sudden happen. So fishermen in the Sea of Galilee knew that these things happen. But the disciples here, even they who were fishermen, and who were experienced in handling these kinds of storms, they became scared. So it was a big one. It was a big one. But Jesus, he was sleeping on a cushion in the back of the boat. He was chill. So they woke him up, the disciple, and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" Jesus was asleep in the storm. He had fallen asleep even before the storm had arrived. He's in the back of the boat, the stern, the rear. There was apparently more room there. And that cushion, you know, sounded like nice and comfy for him. He was exhausted. Think about this. Exhausted from all the previous days of ministering to people. No storm was going to disturb his sleep. He probably thought, I mean, it was a few miles crossing the Sea of Galilee. It would have taken a boat a few hours to get across. So perhaps Jesus thought, good time for a nap while we crossed the sea. He wasn't counting on the storm. But the disciples were scared. They were trying to wake him up. They were saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to die." They were terrified. They were frantic. The waves were coming over. They were filling the boat. The fierce winds. They thought, "We're going to die. This is the end." Have you ever had those moments? You're going to die. There's no getting out of this. I see life flashing before my eyes. Perhaps during a real storm, maybe. Have you ever weathered a real storm that made you think you were going to die, like a hurricane or a tornado? Or maybe a personal storm that you've weathered, or maybe some of you are weathering right now and you think, this is it, it's going to end. I've had both experiences. When I was young, I thought storms were fun. Oh, there's a hurricane coming. Oh, cool. Lights are going to go out. We're going to bring out the candles. I'm going to get to see this awesome fury. I didn't own anything, so if something got damaged, I was okay. I wasn't worried. Perhaps it's because I knew that my dad was around. And if something happened, he would fix it. I started to become afraid of these things when I started to have kids. Then I was responsible. And now I had to make sure everything was tied down and the windows were good. And in Puerto Rico, we put cardboard on the glass windows. If you're a little more extreme, you try to nail some wooden boards across it. It's a really big one. Sometimes that doesn't even help. Funny how children can mess with your brain, right? I started to get fearful and anxious when the children came in the scene. But maybe it's a mixture of aging. I don't know. Maybe both. There was this one time in Puerto Rico when the day before we were supposed to return to New York, the day before, we got hit by a hurricane. Puerto Rico got hit by a hurricane. I believe it was Irma back in 2017. Communications were down, so here I am. I have no way to communicate with the airport. I don't know if the flight's going to take off. I don't know if it's been canceled. I'm getting a little anxious. I want to get back home. I've been here for a few weeks already. It's time to get back. So my father-in-law says, okay, you know, we'll try to get to the airport the day after the storm. So we get in his car, and we're trying to get down from the mountain. It's a mountain that's about 1,600 feet high. So we're trying to get down, and we can't get down because the rivers had burst their banks, and they were flowing around the car. He was trying to cross one road, and I see a bunch of water coming. I says, no, let's turn back. Let's not go to the airport. Let's turn back. I didn't want to get swept away in the car into the river. That was one of those moments where, no, let's go back. And then I experienced a panic attack in 2016 where I really thought I was going to die right there on the sidewalk. I thought it was my time to go. And in 2020, again, our family weathered some emotional storms as Clary and I said goodbye to our moms. What recent storms have you been through? Maybe you're going through one right now. Maybe for some of you, the COVID storm is not over and you're still weathering that one. Maybe our reactions during those times are just like the disciples. I hope they are. Because at least they were turning to somebody who had answers. Lord, save us. We're going to die. They saw Jesus sleeping as if nothing was happening. Perhaps they thought he didn't care. That's why they said, don't you care? We're going to die. As Mark 4:38 puts it. What did they expect Jesus to do? Anything but sleep, right, at that moment. But when Jesus wakes up, something unexpected happened. Something that they didn't expect happened. We read that here in Mark 4:39. He got up, he ordered the wind to stop and said to the sea, be still, absolutely still. The wind stopped blowing and the sea became very calm. Jesus ordered the wind to stop and the sea to be still. Typically, when the wind stops, the waves keep going on for some time, right? It takes a while for the waves to chill out. But Jesus commanded them both. Think about that. That was a miracle. I mean, that was two miracles right there. First, the wind stopped suddenly. You know, wind doesn't just stop. It kind of slows down and then stops. But when Jesus ordered the wind, it stopped. And then he said, the sea stop, and the sea stopped. He commanded both of them to stop. And in an instant, everything became calm, as if nothing had happened at all. Jesus has the power to stop these physical storms, the things that nobody else has the power to do. Notice, however, that the storm was allowed to run for some time. Jesus let the storm go on for a little bit, long enough to elicit a fear, a dread over the disciples, long enough for them to turn to Jesus. We will weather dreadful storms, and they will go on long enough to help us strengthen our faith, long enough to help us turn to the one whom we believe is going to stop or has the power to stop the storm. Jesus will stop them dead in their tracks if he chooses to do so, when he chooses to do so. But we all need them. It's funny how he reacted here. Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith yet? That's an interesting response from Jesus. He rebukes them right after the storm is over. Their expectations of Jesus were different, and Jesus' expectations of them were also different. He rebukes them for showing little faith. I mean, they knew who he was. They knew what he had done before. We've been trying to follow the life of Christ chronologically, and we've already spoken about some miracles and some things that he did, right? So the disciples had already been exposed to that. Yet, this instant, they allowed their emotions to take away, to run away with their reason. Their reason just flew out of their head, and they just had an emotional reaction. And notice that because of that, Jesus says, don't you have any faith yet? You see, faith is not an emotional response. That's not faith. Faith is a reason response. Faith is a response of reason. Emotions can make us cowards, but reason can help us develop faith. That's what Jesus is highlighting here. Jesus expected them that by this time, they ought to understand. They ought to not emotionally react. Not that it's wrong. I don't think we can stop that. We're emotional creatures. We're going to react emotionally, but that doesn't mean we throw reason out the window. That means we'll be like, okay, breathe. Lord, help me. Turn to Jesus, right? But Jesus expected them, look, to understand he already had power. The centurion figured that out without it being exposed to Jesus. Why couldn't they figure it out? Why couldn't he find such faith among his followers? What is it that sometimes holds us back from having a faith response? I want to tell you that mature faith, if you have mature faith, it won't prevent you from having an emotional response. That's not what this is about. We are emotional creatures. There will always be some sort of emotional response that we cannot control. But Jesus expects us to gain control over it at some point, hopefully sooner than later. What we can control is what we let take over our faculties. Are we going to let emotions take over our reason? That's in our control. Or are we going to try to reason and lead our heart rather than let our heart lead us? Which one is it going to be, fear or faith? As Jesus puts it here, is it going to be cowardice? That's the emotional response. Or is it going to be boldness? Which one is it? Because storms are going to groom us. Storms will groom us to eventually make the right choices, which is why God sends us these storms in our lives. He's grooming us to make the right choice in the faith of dread and fear. Little by little, our faith ought to be strengthened. Isn't that what Jesus expected? He says, shouldn't you have more faith by now? So he was expecting a more mature response from them at this point, even though it was a terrible storm. And I believe Jesus expects that of us. As James says, we should be rejoicing in the face of these storms. We need to go back to when we were little kids and we're like, oh yeah, hurricane's coming. We're going to have fun. Maybe not like that, but we should be encouraged. We should rejoice because we know that our faith is being tested. Okay, and that's reason, isn't it? Okay, wait, something's happening. God's going to test us. Okay, let's pray, first of all. Let's turn to Jesus. Let's ask him. Let's get into the Word. Let's get our minds ready for action, as Peter says, so that we can rejoice through the testing. Because what is God expecting us to do through this storm, as James says here? Endurance. He expects us to endure it until the testing is over. Not to give up, not to become fearful, not to become crazy in the middle of it, but to endure it. And somehow that will produce maturity, completeness in us when we turn to faith as opposed to our emotions. Then you won't need crutches. Then you won't need amulets, codependencies, or any other idol that easily sets itself up when we become emotional only. He says, you will become mature and perfect and won't need anything. But Jesus, of course, we always need him. So after this, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of a man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. We end this account with the disciples full of wonder and amazement. And each and every time you turn to God and he ends your storm in some way or another, this is the kind of response that's going to come about when you've turned to God in faith. You're going to be amazed. You're going to be in wonder. You're going to acknowledge, wow, God handled it. God helped me. And this is what makes your faith grow. When you acknowledge that it was Jesus who stopped your storm, he turned its course. He helped you weather some part of it and saved you from the end of it somehow. And that's how life is, isn't it? We're in a continual storm, right? One comes and then leaves and another one comes and goes. There's always something happening. The intensity ebbs and flows in and out, sometimes eliciting responses of fear and dread. Sometimes, you know, they leave us and we're a little bit at peace for a little bit. Everyone experiences these ebbs and flows of life, but only those who lean on Jesus will exercise their faith through these things. That's the advantage we have as disciples. If you don't recognize Jesus, then you're going to become a walking contradiction, like that song from the 70s. A person who has no idea what's going on or where they are going without a clue as to what all these seemingly arbitrary things happening around me are. But if your faith is in Christ, you will be amazed at how Jesus is in control of everything. You will see his hand working, just like these disciples saw and had no doubt that it was Jesus who ended that storm. Otherwise, the alternative choice to that is things are going to be in a continual storm inside you of your own doing, where, as we read in the parables before, it's going to end in much crying and an intense pain. That's the alternative. All of your own doing, because you just refuse to let Jesus handle the storms. If you don't know Jesus, God is trying to talk to you through storms. He tries to get your attention through storms. He does it for those of us who know him. He wants us to grow our faith through them, but he also uses them to kind of tap those people that don't know him yet, to get them to turn to him, to get them to realize that he is there, because the fact is that we need a savior. We need someone to save us from this storm called life. Because everybody's going to end the same way in this storm. We're all going to die in this storm. There's no getting out of here alive. Except with Jesus. He can help us not only weather through it, but come out alive, more alive than we are now on the other side. And so God sends us his son 2,000 years ago as an adequate savior to live, to understand what life is like, to help us realize, hey, I know what you're going through. I lived this life. I was in the flesh and I weathered some intense stuff like a crucifixion and many other persecutions on your behalf. Our sins wreak a storm all around us. We're in trouble. We're in the storm because we are sinners. And only Jesus will be able to stop this storm and the consequences of it, which is death. He's the only one who can stop death and who can show us that there is life after it. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel, which is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, teach us that he is the only one who overcame this storm and overcame it triumphantly and came back with life. And as the scriptures say, since he was raised again, he was raised to never die. He died once and will never die again. And so all those who follow him in faith can also hope to be raised again and never die again. That's why the Bible says in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, he will see God's constant anger, because that's what remains on them. So the way out is to be immersed in Christ. And that has some connotations to it, some interesting connotations. When we give ourselves willingly, when we decide, the way that I'm living my life right now, one storm after another, I don't know what to do. I want Jesus to be in my boat. I want Jesus to captain my boat. I want to be able to turn to him in the middle of the storm and say, Lord, save me. And him to get up and stop, and stop everything. I want Jesus in my boat. So the way that we claim Jesus in our boat is by surrendering our current life and letting him lead it. That's called baptism. When we are baptized, we're dying to self. It's a symbolic death. And when we're saying, God, you take over. I'm done trying to lead my life. You take over. And that's when we become like him in his death, as we read in Galatians 2:20 and in Romans 6:3 and 4. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead to live a new life, we too are raised to walk in newness of life. And so in this life right now, you can start walking and not be afraid of the storms that are coming, because you've already been triumphant with Christ. That's what all this means. So I have a question for you. Is Jesus in your boat? Or are you trying to weather this life without Christ? You're not going to come out of it alive, I'm telling you. It's not going to happen. There was a song that I remember Bob used to sing. Remember, Bob? With Jesus in the boat, we can smile through the storm. Song we sang to the kids. It's a nice song. If Jesus is in the boat, you can smile through the storm. As James says, you can be joyful because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And that's the point of going through all these storms with Jesus. We invite you to come forward after services is over. Pray with us. We want to intercede on your behalf for that storm that is probably upon you. Some of you are going through a storm right now. So we invite you to come and pray with us. We will intercede on your behalf. We will ask God to help you with wisdom and strength and endurance through whatever storm it is that you're going through right now. That God may give you faith, that he may give you wisdom, that he may give you understanding so that you can go through this storm more mature at the end of it, as opposed to just reacting emotionally. We will pray with you to come to know the Lord God if you don't know him. So some of you may not know the Lord God. You might want to know Jesus. We invite you to come and pray with us that God can open your heart so that you can come to an understanding of him being your Lord and your Savior. And we can arrange a Bible study perhaps with you so that you can also be in wonder and amazement of how Jesus can stop the storms in your life. God bless you and have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope the Lord gave you insight into conforming to Jesus with today's message. I always appreciate feedback. You can send me your thoughts, musings, and comments directly through the Anchor app. You can also contact me on Twitter at @kingdom_saint. Walk with the Lord today and be a blessing.